Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour here on this Wednesday. Let's head over to the Titans facility. Let's hear from head coach Mike Vrabel. This press conference sponsored by Tire Man.
You know, we can play as well.
Mike, a lot of positive cases throughout the league. Just wondering how healthy is your team and how confident are you that the protocols are being adhered to and are working?
Here?
Yeah.
I mean, we report, you know, I mean, we ask guys to report symptoms. We follow the protocols. You know, exactly the way they're laid out for us. We talked and mentioned to the team this morning just about, you know, everything that we have to do to try to protect and keep ourselves healthy, our families healthy, and this football team healthy. It's, you know, we're all conscious of the spike in the numbers. We'll keep a close eye on the close contacts and do everything that they're supposed to be doing. And try to do everything that we can to keep everybody safe.
Some teams were told to intensify the protocols. Obviously, you guys weren't, but have you had any thoughts about, you know, intensifying that within the building?
No, the only thoughts I've had on is just trying to prepare for the Steelers and get this team ready.
What do you see from Ben, and how tough is he to get down if you do get pressure on him?
Well, I think we've all seen his success late in the game. You know, just his ability to move them down and score quickly. And I know that that's not where they would want to have been, but it says a lot about him, his offense, very, very good skill players. You know, the receivers are all good. The running back is exceptional. You know, they've had some moving pieces with the O-line, but, you know, I think Ben makes it all go. Very good down the field, very, very good deep ball thrower. You know, he's going to take shots, and they've done a great job of coming down with him or creating, a penalty. You know, really good technique down the field. You know, and then he's still strong. I mean, he's not like he was when he was younger, but, I mean, he's still, you know, big. And, you know, if you fall on the ground, it's going to be tough to tackle him.
I have a question from Teresa. She wants to know how good is it to be in a position potentially to clinch the division this weekend if things fall correctly for you?
You know, I haven't given that, you know, much thought. It is, you know, our weekly approach to try to figure out, you know, how we prepare to win and ultimately win on Sunday. And then, you know, we'll move on to the next one. And if, you know, things happen, then I guess that's great. But, you know, we're really just trying to focus on having a great day today.
The frequency or the variety of their blitzes on defense that are a bigger concern?
Probably... you know, probably just the variety. I mean, I think that they're, you know, there's different packages, there's different fronts, you know, where they move some of these outside linebackers around and where they put them and, you know, some of the stuff that they do. You know, it may, you know, probably look unorthodox at times, but it's, you know, very sound, very, a very aggressive approach.
Is there a cumulative effect on Ryan from the hits that he takes, both physically and mentally at this stage in the season?
Wouldn't know how to answer that.
Can you speak to what Najee Harris has done for them this year and what he brings?
Well, they, you know, I noticed in the Ravens game when they needed to come back and had a huge drive there in the fourth quarter, you know, handed it to him, you know, threw it to him, checked down, and the workload doesn't seem to have bothered him. You know, the one thing that probably impresses me the most about him is on the mistakes that they have made, whether that's, you know, an interception. You know, he's the one that's out there and it's at the front of the pack trying to chase down the guy with the ball. So he's playing with great effort. You know, there were times he was, you know, breaking tackles, you know, really runs behind his pads, has good balance, catches the ball very well, you know, naturally easy. So we'll have to, you know, again, go into the game with the idea of trying to stop him. And then when Snell's in there, obviously he's a physical player who isn't afraid of contact.
Their red zone offense, I think it's their tops in the league as far as passing the football. What stands out to you, you know, as far as some of the things they do, especially even like in low red zone specifically?
They've got a few different, you know, the different players that they have different skill sets. You have Claypool who can go up and get the football. You know, you find him a lot, you know, around the back of the end zone and in the corners. I think Deontay Johnson is one of the best just natural route runners that we have or that we'll face the entire season. You know, he's sudden. He's tough to bring down after short gains, and you know he does a great job of stemming routes at the second level. You know, and then Washington plays with really good play strength, and Freiermuth is more of a, you know, along the lines of Claypool. You know, they put him on the backside and throw him one on one versus a corner, so that tells you what they think about him.
Get Bud back at practice. Is this one of those just responding, see how he responds throughout the week situations?
Yeah, well, I think that's been what we've done all along with everybody that has come off of, you know, we're pretty used to this now after this return to play and, you know, see where he is and see how he responds and then make a decision, you know, going into the weekend.
What do you feel like the offensive line's done with the lack of continuity with guys coming in and out? Game to game.
Well, I think that there's been some really, really good moments. I think that there's some, you know, I don't think it's been a complete, you know, breakdown. I think that there's been, you know, missed blocks, you know, and pass protection, just mistakes. But they've had some really, really good performances, and I'm confident that, you know, we just have to stop having it be one person each and every time. And I believe that. It's not coach speak. We can show you on the film whether it's, you know, talking about the offensive line, whether, you know, one time it is Taylor, or one time it's Quiz, one time it's Roger, one time, you know, I mean, it's somebody different. Just like, you know, maybe a back misses a cut. Maybe, you know, a receiver doesn't run a great route. And you know, that's football, that's offensive football that it's going to take, you know, all 11 guys doing their job to execute.
Now that you have the five guys that you started the season with back and relatively healthy,
how do you know how healthy they are?
Well, they're relatively
healthy. I'm just curious how you know that.
They're healthy enough to play.
Yeah, okay.
So, because I know you always talk about nobody's 100%.
You're right.
But having those guys back and playing together, how much can that help you down the stretch?
I think continuity, especially at that group, but, you know, you look at any type where there's a defensive line and maybe that's the same guys talking about running games. You know, they get, you know, the same guy that they're running a game with. They start to build some continuity on how they're supposed to do it or how they're doing it. Offensive line is probably the most critical position to have that relationship of making calls on the fly. A defensive lineman slides over, you know, 2 feet and calls change. And so that has to happen really quickly, and hopefully the guys playing together can make that happen quicker. You know, protections change, you know, whether Ryan or Ben changes the protection and making sure that everybody's on the same page. And then, you know, even more so than being on the same page is just, you know, making sure that we block our guy. That's the most important thing for a lineman.
What are some of the biggest pluses that Julio Jones, you know, a relatively healthy Julio Jones
sure
brings to the lineup?
I mean, anybody that's, you know, out there, I think he's, you know, one, he's willing to block for us when we run the football, or if somebody else has it. Ryan scrambled, and, you know, Julio did a great job of high screening the guy, and, you know, whether he would made the play on Ryan or not down on the goal line, I don't know, but, you know, there's a guy that we had coached the high screen not to come back and drill the guy and get a blindside block. And so that was good to see. You know, he catches it in traffic. He's not afraid to catch it in traffic. We have to find ways to continue to try to get him the football. We talked about that after the game. And but he's got, you know, really good size. And I think, you know, last week was good to get him going here a little bit in practice. And, you know, hopefully this week will be a little better.
That he ran in the third quarter, I think it was, and he, you know, seemed to get behind the secondary, but the pressure kind of knocked Tannehill out of the pocket. But how important is it to get those type of deep opportunities to show that he can still do that?
Will always be. I mean, the more that you can, you know, back guys up, the more chances that you have. And it's tough to play with 11 guys at within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Ryan mentioned after the game, you know, the next step of the affiliate to be building
availability throughout the rest of the season key to that as he continues to try to be out there and the offense tries to build.
Can only throw to the guys that are out there, can only hand it off to the guys that are out there. You know, I know that he's focused on today and where we are with the game plan on a first and second down against Pittsburgh.
What's he do to sort of become a bigger factor in the passing game this year?
Probably, you know, I mean, for the most part, catch the ones that we throw. You know, I know he'd like to have the one back the other day. And, you know, whether it's, you know, on our boot game or, you know, made a nice play on with the screen the other day. And we just, our tight ends, you know, I mean, their number one job here will be to block. You know, that's the first thing. Make sure we're doing that a little better. And then catch the ones we throw you.
I feel like, you know, even without Derek in there, you guys have achieved kind of a consistency in a running game these, maybe especially these past 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. I mean, I think there was a lot more out there on Sunday. We'll have to be better this week against an excellent defense, you know, excellent run defense. And, you know, just they play with great technique, you know, so we'll have to get into them and, you know, it's going to take a great effort to run the football. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weather.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking about their matchup in Pittsburgh. So lots to unpack. There's also news on the Predators front. So we'll come back and discuss all of that and more on the other side. That Mike Vrabel press conference sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man, for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance, call 615-663-6040. We'll come back and get you some Predators news, some Titans news, all on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can join us, ESPN 102.5 The Game, this Sunday for Bud Light Predators Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. Drink specials will be on tap. You also can win Predators tickets to watch an upcoming game. Of course, they will be taking on the Hurricanes in Raleigh on Sunday. So this Sunday, Headquarters Beercade, if you're looking for a place to hang and watch the Preds game, they're located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 4 o'clock. I'll have pregame here on these airwaves at 3. So with that being said, there's a reason why I read it. Predators have put out a release in the last couple of minutes saying that we know the situation that's going on. 6 players and 6 members of its traveling party have indeed are in COVID-19 protocol. The 6 players, Kyle Granlund, we know Ryan Johansson, he missed Sunday's game in Madison Square Garden, Matt Luff, Michael McCarron, Phil Tomasino, and Ben Harper. And then some of the members in the traveling party are head coach John Hines, assistant coaches Dan Lambert and Todd Richards, and goaltending coach Ben Vanderklok. So as of right now, the way I read this, tomorrow night is a go at Bridgestone Arena against the Avs?
Yes. It is a go.
I mean, it doesn't say that. It just says they are scheduled to take on Colorado. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess that means game on.
Game on. And it's interesting because I've been listening to Elliot Friedman not only on our show, but on his podcast all season long. He talks with Jeff Merrick about this constantly. There is no set number of players that you have to shut down play. It's a case by case. It has to be deemed an outbreak. I have to believe this is right on the borderline. I don't know because they don't set a number.
Yep. But I don't know how you could get any closer.
Yeah. Well, let's take the Islanders. The Islanders saw that Ottawa had been shut down. Remember, our team was up in Toronto. The team was scheduled to fly to Ottawa. Find out Ottawa has been shut down.
You go to Montreal.
Team goes right to Montreal, and we know what happened there. But meanwhile, the Islanders started to have problems, and a lot of people around the Islanders were clamoring, shut us down. We're getting screwed up here by COVID. We need to shut down like Ottawa. The league made them keep playing for a while. Finally, they did shut them down, but in a lot of people's minds around the Islanders, it was too late.
Yep.
You know, they should not have had to play. They shouldn't have had to play some of the games that they did in the situation they were in. So this is a tough call. And you heard what Pierre LeBrun tweeted out, that if there were any additional numbers today, then I think they would have had to react accordingly. But it was so this would let you know just by inference that it had to be right on the borderline. So I can't imagine what this will be like to try to piece together a lineup tomorrow. This is not going to be easy because you don't have, like you said, you're six players, but also the bulk of your coaching staff won't be on the bench. So you talk about being behind the eight ball against a team that's on fire right now, the Colorado Avalanche, then you have to hop a plane right after the game and go to Chicago. So this is going to be a massive challenge. And then, of course, the road trip ends on Sunday in Carolina, a powerful team. But as we know, Carolina is shut down.
Yep.
They are shut down. So this will create, I think, a lot of discussion around the league on consistently. And I know they do the best they can because it's a pandemic, right? That was Mike Vrabel's throwaway line last year, which is, he goes, look, guys, it's a pandemic. You know, it's not something we've experienced before. So they try to do the best they can with the information. But I know a lot of people will probably say, well, why is one team shut down and why don't they shut down another team? I know there's medical people that weigh in on this. But so we'll see how they're able to do. The key guys, of course, now Michael McCarron has been sort of underrated. He's been a nice fill-in. He filled in admirably in the game in New York against the Rangers with Ryan Johansson out. But now they lose him. You lose maybe your most important all-around forward in Kyle Granlund.
Yep.
That's a massive loss. On top of Johansson, McCarron is a center. And then, of course, you got Phil Tomasino, who is an important player.
Yep.
Yeah. But in particular at center, they're really going to be hard-pressed to find enough guys. They have not announced any corresponding moves from Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee might be having, you know, you never know, like AHL teams have been shut down. So who's available? I hope they can call people up from Milwaukee to fill in.
Igor Afanasyev.
Well, he's not a center.
Well, Cody Glass.
Cody Glass would be a guy that comes to mind.
They're going to have to.
Rocco Grimaldi comes to mind. They need bodies. They need bodies. None of these guys can play. Matt Luff was in the lineup the last couple of games.
Correct.
They lose him. So that's 5 forwards. Ben Harper, you know, he's a defenseman, but he is a guy that, you know, they still have their six main defensemen, as far as we can tell, right? Knock on wood, because you never know. But it looks like they're sufficiently tested enough to know that nobody else will be added to the list. At least keep your fingers crossed, because we know how this goes. Every day is a new day. But boy, you talk about being thin. And the next question, of course, is how long? How long before they get any of these guys back? You got three games in 4 nights.
Matt
Duchene is injured. Matt Duchene is injured.
He's completely out of the mix.
Well, we don't know.
That's why I'm asking.
He hasn't been, He hasn't been placed on the injured list.
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
So he's eligible
possibly...
to come back, but I don't know if he's healthy enough to come back.
Yeah. And who do we talk to about that? John Hines is not available.
I know. Well, the one coach that is not on the list is Dan Hynote. And so I would presume that Dan Hynote would run the bench tomorrow.
And with who?
They're going to have to probably get creative here. I'm just speculating. But I know Scott Nickel has been on the bench for some games in the past. I don't think since John Hines has taken over. But that would be one possibility. Another possibility might be to bring a guy in from Milwaukee. I don't know. But, of course, the Milwaukee coaching staff at times, I mean, they're around the team in training camp, so that is not a stretch. And then there's other guys like Rob Scuderi, who has been on the bench in the past. He was up watching the team in New York, and obviously he's very familiar with the team. He works for the team, but he hasn't been with the team because he is a scout. He watches and works with player development around the organization. So this is obviously, they've got to be piecing this together one step at a time here. But you talk about being thrown a lot. Now, the last couple of days, I'm sure they've been weighing the possibilities. You know, what could happen? What's our plan if this happens? What's our plan if that happens? So they've had some time to prepare. But also throw this on top of everything, Darren. They haven't practiced at all since Sunday night. So they're gonna be taking the ice tomorrow.
That's
without having practice
though.
With
it's
this
overrated.
Unit.
The Titans.
Well, I'm
that
talking
last
about rust.
Year. It's overrated.
Well, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right because you got one heck of a team coming in here tomorrow night.
Who's doing the game with you now that Chris Mason is the goaltending coach?
That's another good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think you can get by without a goaltending coach on a particular night. So I presume Mace will be with me, but I guess stranger things have happened. But I do know that there are times where Ben Vanderklok will go to Milwaukee and work with other goalies in the organization and not be there on a particular night. Most of the time on game night for the Predators, Ben is there. And we should say this, too. All the guys that are on the list, I hope they're all feeling okay. I know there's varying levels of symptoms. We know about this. Everybody's vaccinated. So knock on wood. You know, everybody will get better as soon as possible, but we want to give them a shout out because, you know, if nothing else, you feel, I know how I would feel, and I'm part of the traveling party, so I've been part of this testing thing, you know, full disclosure, we get tested all the time. You always just, you want to be there with your group. You don't want to not be there. You know, I think that's probably the hardest thing for all these guys is on top of just feeling sick. It's, I can't be there with my guys. I can't be with my group. You know, so we wish those guys well.
I can't keep up with all the leagues. Their protocol standards. So I'm going to put you on the spot just because I don't know. And if you don't know, then we don't know. But how does this, if you have the vaccine, like, for example, in the NFL, they're reporting now that there's been this huge outbreak in the NFL.
Right.
There's tons of reports saying, hey, these guys are vaccinated. So if they did two negative tests, they're back out there. So they could still play. You know, they could still be back by the end of the week, whatever, on the practice field. They could be in there, but they need two negative tests. So do you know how it works in the NHL? Like I said, I can't keep up with the leagues. I don't know.
Don't quote me on the absolute fine print details, but it's similar to what you're saying.
Okay.
If you are asymptomatic, if you're asymptomatic and you can put together back-to-back days of negative tests, then you're okay to play. If you have symptoms, it's more complicated, and I don't know all the specifics of that one.
Yeah.
So if the key is if you're asymptomatic, and then here's the other question. Who deems you with symptoms or not?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What if I walk in and say, I don't have any symptoms. Oh, okay. Well, But if you test negative 2 days in a row, then you test negative 2 days in a row. So I think that's what it boils down to. Can you test negative two straight days? But you're supposed to be asymptomatic. If you're showing symptoms, I think there's a level of complication there.
Well, I guess they probably trust you enough. Hey, look, either you're upright or you're not, right? I mean, you can't really fake that. If you had it and you've gone through it, either you're either on your feet or you're not on your feet. You're down for the count. So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, don't you think? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been dealing with this for a while, but
yeah.
It's like Chase brought this up, and that there are people who think that there should be some leeway, at least, right, of a vaccinated player being able to push through it if the symptoms are mild enough. And in normal times, you would play through whatever you had, right? If you had a cold.
Of course.
You know, I know as a high school basketball player, there were times where I remember one time my math teacher got all over me because I left halfway through the day. You had to go to school for half a day to play in the game that night. That was the rule. So I was like, man, I feel terrible. So I went to the first four periods and I pieced out of there. I said, come get me. I need to go home and rest until the game. And my math teacher was all over me going, hey, man, what were you doing playing in the game last night? I said, well, I went half a day. She was like, my class is just as important. You can't walk out of my class and then play in a game. I mean, she was dead serious. I was like, geez, we won the game. Aren't you happy that we won or anything? She was not having anything of that. But you know what I'm saying? That's the world we lived in before the pandemic, is if you feel sick, can you push through it? Yes or no? No, I can't go. All right, you sit out until you feel better. But now there's, so many layers of protocols on top of it. But there are some people that think we're back to that in the vaccination world. And so that's the debate.
Yeah, I think,
like, when you have the protection of the vaccination, what should that do to – it has certainly relieved some of the protocols. But now with all these cases coming up, you wonder what that's going to do in all the leagues. Will the protocols dial back up more so than what they were at the beginning of the season with the weather turning cold and all of that stuff? These are questions way above my head.
Yeah, because I've even heard stuff in the NFL floating around that they've been discussing because of the latest outbreak of, getting like the – even having players get the booster and then, they don't have – there's less testing or whatever. Like I said, this is all, I think, things just being discussed. And David Poyle was on with us yesterday, and he talked about just going to the meetings. And I'm sure they were discussing all this stuff too. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to test positive, right? I mean, that's what we're learning. So what
– Yeah.
To your point of bringing that up is like, so what do you – either you're physical enough to play or you're not. And if it – because a lot of these guys, if it wasn't for the testing, some of them, right, you would never even know, right? You would just keep – you wouldn't even – because some people it doesn't even affect. So you wouldn't even have
– not enough to keep you from playing.
Correct.
So it's complicated because then, once again, still, even if you are vaccinated, you can get it and spread it to somebody else who's not vaccinated or somebody else who is more prone to actually getting ill. We said this earlier in the year. So that's got to be part of the equation, is what does it do to the overall community, right? You're not more important because you play a sport than you are as a regular person in the community. At least that's the way I would look at it. And you're protecting others as well. But if you have the virus, you can spread it to somebody who is vulnerable, and that's why it continues to be a factor. If everybody were vaccinated and nobody was vulnerable, then I think we would be in the world we lived in previously. But that's not where we are, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll get back into the Titans discussion and what Mike Vrabel talked about in their matchup against Pittsburgh. On the other side, but first I'm going to talk to you about the folks at Curation CBD. You hear me talk about them all the time because they present our show, and we're very thankful for that. And if you're like me, and if you deal with aches and pains on your body, whether it's from just getting older, or you're active, or you've just got a body that doesn't want to always cooperate, and you're looking for a solution, like me, well, I've got it. It's Curation CBD. Curation means healing. And that right there says a lot. Curation is locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. That should be important to you. It's important to me. From seed to final cell, you're supporting local. Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use and for your pets, too. Your pets go through this. You may have an older pet that deals with aches and pains, too, has trouble getting around. You should definitely look into that. Or one with medical issues, like our female German Shepherd. They have the pet tincture, and they've got pet treats that have the CBD in it that can help their joints and their aches and pains. So you can look into all of that, whether it's for you or for your pets, and keep this in mind, okay? When you check out, make sure you put in the promo code DDC25. Darren, Donnegan, Chase, DDC25. Why? Because you'll get 25% off your order at checkout. That's at creationcompany.com. Creation CBD, curated for life. Got another opportunity tomorrow and Friday mornings during the 7 o'clock hour. Listen to Robbie and Rex Road. When you get the cue to call, you can be a part of the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series between the Predators and the Lightning. Of course, that'll be at Nissan Stadium on Saturday night, February 26th. So another chance to win a pair of tickets to that tomorrow and Friday mornings during the 7 o'clock hour. Listen for that cue to call. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a great event. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McKay with you. Elijah Campbell manning things live from our Hillside Medical Games studio. I saw where the NFL, Adam Schefter put this out there, the NFL has seven teams in enhanced COVID protocols, whatever that means. I guess red alert, serious. The Browns, the Bears, Falcons, Lions, Rams, Vikings, and the Washington football team. So the Browns, the only team in the AFC right now, according to Adam Schefter, in enhanced COVID protocols. So pretty interesting stuff. All right, what did you make of what Mike
going around
had to say?
Yep. It is going around.
It is.
And it's got to cause you heard the first, as we, you know, alongside, if you joined us just now and you missed it, the Predators have six players and six members of the traveling party in the protocols, and they are still playing tomorrow night as scheduled. And then presumably in Chicago on Friday and in Carolina on Sunday. So it's bringing up the question everywhere I'm seeing it is, you know, what deems you having enough to shut down? And this is what everybody's doing to tie it into what you're saying with enhanced protocols. The NFL does have the luxury. They have the taxi squad, per se. You know, they have the looser regulations that they had a few years ago with the practice squad. It's a little easier to deal because you have that next wave of players that are ready to go if you have incidents. But where does it go from here, Darren? Right? It's as we get into December, it's not getting any warmer around the country. If this trend continues, what are we going to see in another couple weeks? Another round of this stuff, that's what really concerns me. And that's what I think every league is really trying to come to grips with right now.
So let me just throw this out there.
Couple questions of Mike Vrabel were about the protocols, right? The Titans don't have any news on that. I guess they sent one guy to the protocols earlier this week. So they've had a guy here, a guy there. They haven't had an outbreak like last year. But you heard Mike Vrabel say, we are following the protocols. We're on top of this thing. We're doing the best we can. He's aware that this could happen and hit at any time. He's been through it.
Well, just brainstorming out loud, because we've talked about this. We brought this up with David Poyle. I guess kind of their drop-dead date is January 10th on making their decision on the Olympics. What it tells me is if this continues to be the pattern in the league, they're never going to get through an 82-game schedule is what's going to be the problem. And so my question to you is, if they indeed decide, hey, we can't pull off this Olympics because of the restrictions they've got over in China, if you test positive over there, you could be over there for a month before you could come home, and the players decide, hey, it's just not worth it. You've got like a three-week window where the league has shut down. Do they then use that window to make up games to try to get the 82-game schedule in?
Logically, you would have to think about that. You would have to try to consider that. I don't remember, you have all these buildings that you have dates set. So you only have a certain amount of flexibility, but I would certainly think that that time during the Olympic break could be used for at least makeup games. I don't know if you shuffled the entire schedule around, but games that have already been postponed, there's been one here or there that have been made up. I know the Senators made up one of the games against the Islanders, but right now none of the games, as far as I know, I don't even know if they have a tentative date for when the Predators-Senators game is going to be made up, let alone last night's game that will have to be made up. It's already a pretty compressed schedule, but it falls back into the players. The players are the ones that have to tell the league, we're not going. And only then can the league go there, right, and start actually making, you know, doing what they need to do for makeup games, and the players don't have to say anything until January 10th.
Yeah, I'm just saying rather than extend it out, rather than you've got this window, this block, that if it's not going to get used, then do use that time frame to now make up all the games that you've lost to this point and to that point, right? I mean, we're still in December. I mean, games are going to get lost. So do you use that window to try to make up as many games as possible to get you basically back on schedule to end your normal time?
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's different than it was last year pre-vaccine. This is the other thing that you're really going to need to lean on the health experts to try to give you some guidance here, because this is another thing that's coming out with the news out of Calgary this morning, coupled with the news here with the Predators. You know, the Calgary Flames are just, you think it's bad that the Predators have six guys. The Calgary has, what, 17 guys?
Yeah,
so they're obviously shut down. But what's worse, having to make up all these games down the road and playing a gazillion games in a short period of time, or having to play with a depleted roster over the next few days, which is what the Predators are facing right now? But that's where, in the vaccinated world, you ask the question, okay, how quick can we get some of these guys back? The protocols right now are what they are. But what's being reported is most of the people have mild to no symptoms. And so it brings up the question that you and Chase were asking earlier is, you know, how long should you have to sit out? If you're double vaxxed and maybe even if you have the booster shot, does that make a difference? I don't know. But as of now, the protocols are set and you have to test negative 2 days in a row before you come back, at the very least.
Mike Vrabel said that Bud Dupree is been designated to return to practice but remains on the injured reserve. So what does that mean for him possibly returning against his former team? They've also signed defensive back Nate Brooks to their practice squad. So I do wonder, will Bud Dupree be out there against Pittsburgh on Sunday?
Okay, let me ask you, Darren. How big is this game in your mind, or have they been planning this all along? Like, I do think there's a scenario where even a week ago during the bye week, they had a pretty good idea how close Bud Dupree was to coming back. You know, they couldn't activate him for the last game. Like, he had to sit out the last game. But there's a scenario where he's chomping at the bit. He can't wait to play. He's been ready for a week. And then there's the other scenario where he's just now able to come back to practice. So I don't know. I don't know. If he had a good week of practice this week, kind of like Julio Jones, get him in there. But on the other hand, like, how big is this game? If he's not quite there and another week would help him, then is it worth putting him out there if he's not really into it and in game shape and you risk a setback? That's what makes these decisions tough. So without knowing where he is on that spectrum, I don't know. I would love to see him in there without a doubt, because the defense is better with him in there. But I'm also looking at the long game. I brought this up to you guys before. If it costs you a game in the regular season to rest guys a little bit more than you normally would you do it and be the third seed instead of the first seed?
As I say, it depends on what you're going for. Still going for the one seed? Just going for a division title? What are you going for? I don't know. By the way, I did hear Mike Vrabel snapped back at Terry McCormick when he said relatively healthy. And I'm not sure where Mike was going with that. He was just like very aggravated.
I think I don't know if he was just joshing him or whatever.
Yeah,
I know he does this.
Right, if it's serious or not.
I can't
but it
see the look
like
in his eye.
It didn't feel like it was a joke.
How do you know how healthy are? Terry had said relatively.
He said
and so
relatively
Terry
healthy.
Said relatively enough, healthy
enough
to
play. Yeah.
And he said, and I know you always say everybody's hurt. So it's not like Terry was trying to pull a fast one or something like that. Like, I don't get that.
I didn't
like,
understand you always what have Mike to be ready. Was trying to do. I didn't understand what he, like, he said relatively healthy.
Yeah.
And then Mike Vrabel was like basically like, what do you know who's healthy and who's not? And he's like, well, I don't.
He said relatively.
I said relatively healthy.
If healthy enough to play.
Enough to get out on the field, that's relatively healthy.
So
I was very confused on where Mike Vrabel was going, that why he chose to snap back on that when I thought Terry framed it the right way.
Unnecessary sass. For sure. He did come back and answer the question eventually. So, goodness. I don't know. He's just been one of those moods, I guess.
Well, he's been in that mood now for a good bit. But once again, I just go back to, it's kind of like the Zach Cunningham stuff, which, by the way, you know, it looks like, you know, maybe he's going to be out there. But I think everything's been fair. If it's not fair, if the questions aren't fair, we would say they're not fair. We're not just going to, like, take up for the media because we're part of the media.
Yeah.
If it's not a fair question, it's not a fair question. We'll say it. But these are – he framed it. He said it the right way, and yet Mike Vrabel chose just to snap back and is like, dude, like, what is your
point? I think he enjoys it. I think Mike actually enjoys this stuff sometimes.
I think there's probably a little truth to that. Let's bring in our man, Pat Sperduto. He wouldn't snap back. He's a nice human being.
Well, let's find out. When he was the coach of the Cats, when you were the coach of the Cats, did you ever snap back at a reporter? In a press conference?
No, I probably laughed. Like, if the question was I thought was out of line, I'd probably laugh and then just kind of, you know, just give one of those deep sighs before I answer, and I'll try to answer as PC as possible and kind of just move on, you know, get to the next question.
So you never snapped at at a reporter?
Never walked out on a press conference?
No, I've never walked out on a press conference. I've always sat there and, you know, I'm sure you know, I've always been a believer. Players win games, coaches lose games, and that's how I approached it. So I always take, you know, I wanted full responsibility for any failures. So that's just me.
Pat, before we get into asking people for help, I do want to ask you, because we've talked about it today on the show for a good part of the show. Today is National Signing Day. You're out in that world. You're out on the recruiting trail. You've been with the Chiefs for 12 years, so you understand how all this works. The number one recruit, Travis Hunter, had, I think, an Auburn hat, a Georgia hat, a Florida State hat, and all these big boy school hats, and unzipped his, you know, his vest or his pull-up and threw on a Jackson State hat, and he's going to FCS. What do you make of that first five-star recruit to ever do that?
Yeah, my son and I actually were talking about that, and I was like, did you see that? He said, yeah, you know, it was his choice. I'm sure, you know, Deion Sanders has a reputation of being a good football coach, obviously. And what better for a corner to learn from than one of the best corners that ever played? So maybe that factored in. NIL is now a big factor in this whole deal. And it's, I think, you know, I've said this before, I think the NCAA opened up a little bit of a can of worms with all the NIL stuff. So it's I don't know how it is, or I don't know why or what motivated it. It just was kind of a surprise, and hopefully he has a great career there and does what he wants to do. You know, I'm not one to judge a kid for his decision. I just hope he he carries it out and has a good year, good 4 years, or three years sometimes.
Well, you know it's an inexact science because you're in those war rooms, and you know drafting is hard. It's hard to project who's going to go from college, if their game is going to translate to the professional level, and it's hard to project whether, as you know, kids from high school into the college level. But let's say, and people, you know, they get labeled that because these services, it's a big business, as you know. And just because somebody gets slapped with a 5-star doesn't mean they're actually going to be good. Like, it, you know, the country is going to be littered with 5-star flops. But let's just say this kid is legit, okay? This kid is going to be, he's going to be special. And they've gotten this one right, which they do on a lot of kids.
Right.
Willie asked a good question when we were discussing this. Can he be underserved by going to an FCS school when he realizes a year in, or maybe even a little bit past a year in, like, wow, like I'm just head and shoulders above the talent level at this level, and I'm not getting better playing against these guys. I'm dominating, but I use the example, we went to travel ball because our little group, my son and some of the kids he's been playing with for years, they just got too good. Rec ball became bored. We felt like as parents, they were going to go the wrong direction because they were going to get so bored, they actually weren't going to get better at all, even though they were dominating. It was time for the next challenge. Is there a possibility that could happen with him?
Well, I'm sure the physical tools will continue to develop. It's the mental part of the game that gets a little bit stagnated versus lesser competition. I mean, you want to play the best. You always want to challenge yourself to play the best. And, you know, he'll go through, if he plays 4 years, he'll probably end up playing in an all-star game and then have to play against the kids from Alabama, Notre Dame, USC, Florida, Georgia, wherever. So that factors in still. But, you know, the athletic tools will continue to grow. I mean, I'm sure he's 18 years old, maybe 19. So he's going to continue to grow as an athlete. And physically, I'm sure he's going to get bigger and stronger and faster. That's stuff that you can control. The things you can't control is who you line up against. You know, so if we go to a smaller school as an organization, we're looking at a kid from a smaller school, you're always going to try to find the games that he played against the best competition. And those games are going to be fewer and further between. Do you know, does that make any sense?
Yep.
Yeah. You can go put on, you know, a kid from Alabama, he's played LSU, he's played Georgia, he's played Florida, so he's played against some really, really good football players, I'm sure, each week. Whereas if you go to see a kid from a Division I AA school, you know, maybe he played a Division I team, or maybe he hasn't. You know, you just don't know, you know. So
it's
a little harder on the evaluation process for sure.
Yeah. Tell everybody what we're looking for. We need people's help.
Well, you know that last year with COVID was really difficult, obviously, and we didn't get a chance to get out and help the homeless population here in Nashville. And this year we're back on track with the help of a bunch of people, starting with some of the people from different organizations as well as some of the people from the city that I had talked to. And we are looking for donations. Yogi's Pizzeria over in Creve Hall will provide us with 200 plus meals, and we will go out and help feed the homeless and give them an opportunity to have a good meal on Christmas Day. But then we're asking your listeners who have jumped up to the call every single year we've done this, and we're asking them to try to come up with donations of large or bigger size sweatshirts, socks, knit hats, and gloves, and it all has to be new, unfortunately. So if they can go to a Walmart, Big Lots, Kmart, whatever store that can be, you know, the least expensive, so we're not asking them to take a ton of money out of their pocket. and we're asking them to buy some things and drop them off at one of Zach Pillar's two restaurants, Neighbors in Germantown, which is at 313 Jefferson Street, or Neighbors Sylvan, which is at 4425 Murphy Road, both in Nashville, on Saturday between 10 and 2 o'clock. So 10 a.m. to 2 o'clock, they'll have bins there for you to drop stuff off. If you can go by there Saturday morning and drop it off, we will make sure it gets to people who need it on Christmas Day and gives them an extra layer of protection versus the cold. You know, your listeners have stepped up every single year, and I know, you know, you and Willie and your families have come out and done so much. And I could never thank Willie's been with me maybe from the beginning or maybe a couple of years in. So Willie's got to be going on 20 years too. And I've watched his family grow up from babies to young adults.
Yeah.
And now
I have these memories, Pat, of them in the car seats, you know, when they were both little. So that, I know that covers at least 19 years in the case of Evie. She's in college now. So we've been doing this a long time, but it's part of our tradition. And you said it, yeah. Pat, we get a lot of satisfaction. We get satisfaction for ourselves knowing we're helping a few people out there.
Right.
And that's really why we do it.
That's right. If you can help one person, you've succeeded. I've said that all along. I keep telling my wife, she's all nervous. We don't have enough of this, that's not what it's about. We are going to try to help as many people as possible. And you know this, both you guys know this. We'll go out on Christmas Day, and by the time we get back into our car to head home, you've taken off your own gloves, you've taken off your own hat, sometimes your own coat,
yeah.
and given that too. And it is without question. You said it, Willie. It's selfish. We get so much gratification from helping somebody else. It makes your Christmas more realistic and keeps that spirit alive. And that's why your listeners have stepped up every single year. I hate asking like this, but with COVID, we have to do something. Again, if they can help us in any way, we're so appreciative. And I know you guys are going to do a remote on the 22nd at Nashville Mercedes. Is that correct?
Mercedes-Benz of Music City, 734 Envious Lane. So, yep.
Awesome. Awesome. So you have two chances to help out, and anything you give, we're gonna make sure it gets into the right hands, and you know your listeners will definitely be providing something for somebody on Christmas Day. So it is, yeah, you walk away feeling pretty good. So if you went out and bought a package of socks for $6 and dropped it off, you've done something. So that's all we're asking.
Pat, we thank you. We'll continue getting the word out. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Pat Sperduto, sweatshirts, size large or bigger, preferably darker colors, socks, not dress socks, wool, warm socks, gloves, larger sizes. All these need to be new items due to COVID regulations. So we're trying to do things on the up and up, but still help people out. We would love for you to help as well. And indeed, we will be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City next Wednesday. But don't forget, you can use Neighbors, the two locations, as a drop-off point this Saturday. We'll come back. Final hour of the DDC next.
All right, let me get this thing going by telling you about Lee Company. Lee Company, of course, 615-567-1000. Important number to always keep top of mind because there's a lot of different services that they offer. And today I'm going to tell you about home renovation. That is an area that they can help you in. If you want to look at a home renovation project, maybe it's upgrading a kitchen or a bathroom or upgrading a porch where you want to turn it into an outdoor patio, something like that, a big upgrade. Lee Company's got that department. Just give them a call, 615-567-1000, and help them or let them help you plan it out. Also, they have general maintenance at home or at work. So that is always something you have the option of. If you need to go on and make an online appointment to schedule something, tell them what the problem is. They'll come out and fix it. 615-567-1000 if you want to call. But the online appointment is available at leecompany.com. Lee Company, lots of great services. Proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Give them a call. 615-567-1000.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.